even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed.
You are listening to Context, where the past meets the present.
And we're live, so welcome to Context. This is the first episode of Context since, last November, right? Am I right? But yeah.
Around election
time. Yeah, we talked about
the
Electoral College. So this is, I wasn't planning on ever doing this podcast ever again, and Robert was really sad. And then I was like, we just got to talk about these Confederate statues, man. We've got to talk about this. Everybody is talking about how they're taking these Confederate statues down, and like, this is a great opportunity to bring back the podcast. And so we are back to talk about that. And before we get started, if you are watching this on YouTube right now, you know that this is something you can download later on iTunes or Stitcher or any of your podcast providers, and you just search Context and it shows up. You might search my name or Robert's name, Reading Through History, and if you like us on there too, that helps it helps out the podcast, get more viewers and all and stuff like that. But anyway, before we carry on, I would like to introduce first my loyal sidekick, a very patient sidekick, Robert from Reading Through History. Go ahead and introduce yourself, young man.
I'm Robert from Reading Through History.
And how does the internet know you, Robert?
They don't.
Well, he's...
I have my YouTube channel and also readingthroughhistory.com and our Facebook group, Reading Through History. Pretty much it's just Reading Through History.
Yeah, he's been doing pretty well with the people wanting to reminisce about the Great Depression, I've noticed.
Yes.
But you could check out his YouTube channel in the description below this video. And we have a special guest, a new friend I have been chatting with online, and he's a former social studies teacher. Well, I'll just say current social studies teacher and YouTuber. The channel is called Knowing Better, which is one of the best names of a channel ever. And I bring you Will. So thank you, Will, for joining us today. Anything you want to say to introduce yourself?
No, other than hi, I'm Will. And my channel is called Knowing Better. I talk about all sorts of social studies topics, whether it's history or government, psychology, all of that, just so that you can maybe know better.
That's great. That's a great promo. All right. So we are talking about the trend of people taking down Confederate statues in particular. You had Jefferson Davis statues that were taken down, Robert E. Lee, Confederate generals. But they're all in the, it's mostly in the South we're talking about, and we're talking about how there's a lot of politicians who have really been pushing for removing all these statues. New Orleans was the one that caught my attention when they took down, that was the Robert E. Lee statue, right? And they took down the last Confederate statue, and there were people that showed up and that were protesting them taking it down. There was also people that showed up and supported it, and a lot of people angry at each other about this. And I've had friends and family ask me my thoughts on this, and I can see both sides, and that's why I'm going to kind of today act like kind of like the moderate point of view, the boring middle of the road centrist point of view, because I brought on you two because you disagree on this, I assume. I would say Robert leans more towards this is ridiculous, why are they taking these statues down? And then Will leans more towards they should take them down. So I think I'm going to let Robert begin this because this, you know, obviously this is our show here. And then I'm going to let you guys kind of respond, and then I'll chime in and probably rudely interrupt you several times as well. But yeah, let's just start with initial reactions to this, and feel free to like add any additional information, because I know that was just a brief overview of what's been happening. So, Robert?
Yeah, I wasn't really quite sure what it was we were doing here, because you know, we discussed this twice already on this podcast, but it just kept getting... In fact, I told you this was coming after the whole... after it started. But the roots of the... I've been following this since I was in college. When I was in college, it was the first memory of this I have, because at the state capitol, there's like 13 or 14 flagpoles here in Oklahoma, and they had a flag for each country that what is today Oklahoma has been, you know, under that flag historically, kind of like the six flags of Texas. You know, and they did a renovation, and when they went to go put them back up, they just left the Confederate flagpole blank. Like, there was nothing there. It was just a naked flagpole. And it was like, that was stupid. You know, it was one of the dumbest things I thought I had ever seen up to that point. Because, you know, people just came in and they protested it. Like, we don't want that there. It's offensive or whatever. I was like, well, put the First National there. Or put the Cherokee Braves flag. You know, that Stan Waite and those guys fought at something. I think today they just got like 13 or 14 Oklahoma flags. But I remember I started following it, and then I did my college research paper just over the history of the Confederate flag. And as part of that, I of course had to read the paper and defend the paper, and all these like just liberal left-wing professors were just coming at me all the time. And I even told them, I was like, yeah, today it's the flag, tomorrow it's going to be the monuments, then it's going to be the battlefields, for crying out loud.
And when will it stop?
So you can just kind of, it won't. After they eradicate this, it's going to be Andrew Jackson. We already see him on the 20. It's going to be George Washington. It's going to be Thomas Jefferson. It's going to be anything old antebellum South, anything that you could construe it as any way being racist at all. It will never stop. I mean, like I said, I've been following this intently since 97. And it's just a continuous narrative. Now, Dylan Roof just blew the whole thing up. So I mean, it's there, but I could not read those articles because they make me nauseous. I can tell you that right now. Like, I didn't think I needed to. I stopped reading them months ago. Actually, probably over a year ago.
Oh, you're just sick about
it
anymore.
You're
just sick about the topic.
Yeah, I just couldn't take it anymore. Because there was a point after the Dylan Roof thing where I literally just started screen grabbing every article I saw. And every time I went to check my email, there was about six or seven of them. It was just insane. And eventually got to the point that it filled up the memory on my phone. And I was like, what am I going to do? So I just went in and deleted them all. Because, I mean, they're going after the General Lee and everything. I mean, this is like some sort of a mental illness or something. So, like I said, I couldn't read them. I didn't read them. I don't even know how I'm going to get through talking about this subject. Because, like I said, I've been seeing it build and build and build and build. And there really is no way of stopping it, because unfortunately the people who are anti-monument, anti-anything Confederate at all will never stop. Because South Carolina, you know, they used to fly the flag above the Capitol dome. And I would agree that's probably a little much. But they took it down and they put it on that monument as a compromise. They said, okay, we'll put it there on this. We've got a Confederate soldier monument there. We'll put it there and we'll leave it alone. Well, no, they won't. Next, it's the monument.
Okay. Yeah. So when will it end? I mean, that's a pretty good argument to start off with. Like, where do you think that limit should be? Let's just take it over to Will here. What should the limit be in terms of how we are remembering the past by these statues, and you could even mention the Confederate flag as well, but go ahead. The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, the first thing that I took note of when you started talking there, Robert, was Oklahoma was not part of the Confederacy, so I don't know why it would ever have the Confederate flag up.
All five tribes signed allegiances with the Confederacy under Albert Pike.
Okay, so it was the... Okay.
The Oklahoma Confederates were the last Confederates to surrender.
Okay. So where will it stop, I guess, is... Let's see. Why do we, I guess the my response to that is, why do we still need them? We're not going to scrub the Civil War or the Confederacy from history. It's going to be there forever. Every American history class in America is structured around the Civil War, whether it starts with or ends with.
Ours is structured on leaving it out, actually. Hey,
well, I don't see how that, see how that would happen. But having monuments to it, or at least to the Confederates, it's not a symbol of our history. It's a symbol of what they stood for, which I hope you won't argue with me on this one, was the institution of slavery, or keeping the institution of slavery. So having the monuments up still, I try to imagine myself as a black child. I'm obviously not, none of us are, but if you put yourself in the shoes of one and you're walking down the street with your mom or dad and you look up at this statue and you say, "Mom, who is that?" And they say, "Oh, well, it's a monument for us to remember slavery." Okay, well, but who is it? Well, it's one of the people who wanted to keep slavery. Why? Why that person? Why not one of the? Why not Lincoln or Grant or Frederick Douglass or any of the people who wanted to get rid of slavery? We can remember that part of our history without remembering the bad guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're never going to get rid of it. And I hate to draw this parallel, but it is the obvious parallel, and that's the Nazis in Germany. It took them maybe a decade to get rid of those statues and, well, most of the stuff, except for the, you know, tree formations in the forest that they're still finding. But it's not like they've somehow scrubbed Nazi history away. It's just not in your face and reminding everybody who perhaps were impacted negatively by it. So it's the same when I see, I've never personally seen a Confederate statue, but I would imagine for a black child seeing a Confederate statue and saying, well, why the bad guy? Why the person who wanted to keep me enslaved? Why not a better person? So there's that. And I watched, Robert, your video on why the Confederate soldiers fought. And while I may disagree with you a little bit on that one, that maybe the regular everyday foot soldier wasn't fighting for slavery, he was fighting to defend his home or whatever, you said it was the government who was fighting to keep slavery. And those statues aren't to the everyday foot soldier. They are to Jefferson Davis and Robert E. Lee and the government people who wanted slavery. And, of course, I'm sure there are monuments to the regular everyday soldier, but the ones people are all hearing about are Lee and Beauregard and Davis, the people who wanted to keep slavery. And I think...
Well, did Lee really want to keep slavery? I'm sorry, but wasn't Lee against slavery? I could be wrong on this.
I guess I always just kind of assumed he was, since he was fighting, since he was a general for it.
Well, that's the problem with this whole movement. There's a lot of assumptions about a lot of things. Well,
let's just start
I hear people, hearing people compare my ancestors to Nazis infuriates me, honestly.
Well, that's an emotional thing. Let's just take this from, objectively speaking, though, let's start off with the slavery thing, because I think that's, we can break this down further. Starting with this, we need to come to a starting point agreeing that the Civil War was about slavery. I mean, sure, it was about states' rights, but like you said in your video that you released today, Will, by the way, guys, you should check it out, his Knowing Better channel. But anyway, the video... in the video, you say that slavery was always there, and I agree with that. The reason why we say slavery is the main cause of the Civil War is because, sure, there's all these other reasons, but what lies underneath the surface generally is slavery. There's all these. I mean, it always comes back to that. But can we agree on that point to start off with, Robert?
Well, it's every just about every state in their secession ordinance did cite that as an issue. So if you want to break it down and make it that simple, yes.
Okay, so we can start there, but then...
Motivations for fighting is a totally different story.
Okay, so let's talk more about that then. Motivations for fighting, how, like, in terms of... What do you think should be the proper way to handle this, Robert, in terms of, instead of taking the statues down, what would be a better way to handle this?
Are you talking about a better way of handling the statue problem?
The fact that a lot of people perceive them to mean that support for
why is this a new recent phenomenon? I mean, these statues, many of them were there for over 100 years. It's just all of a sudden they decide to make it an issue. It's like they have nothing else to do.
Most of these statues were put up in the 20s and 30s. I have to disagree with you on that. A lot of the ones that were taken down in New Orleans these last few weeks were put up in the 20s and 30s by...
You know, they started putting these up around the country in the 1880s.
I'm sure that there are some. I won't argue with you on that, but a lot of them, many of them, I would say, even, were in the 20s and 30s. And since we're also connecting the Confederate flag to this, that didn't start until the 50s and 60s. I'm assuming you know that, but maybe not everyone listening does.
Well, like I said, I wrote a historical research paper over in college, so I can go byline by byline of 1898, the Mississippi flag and all that, if you would like.
But the Confederate flag, all of the we know it.
Confederate battle flags going up on the top of their Capitol domes was the 100-year anniversary of the Civil War. I mean, we're talking that, which did ironically coincide with the Civil Rights Movement and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can say it ironically coincided with it. I think it was in
direct response. Yeah, I mean, it's just that happened at the same time. It's not like they said, hey, we're going to move the 100th anniversary of the Civil War to coincide with this. I mean, there's nothing really ridiculous about that.
Well, the other thing we could bring up, that I should have brought up at the beginning of the podcast.
That's
here.
That's literally changing history. That,
you know, this is the day before Memorial Day, and your video, Will, was about the true meaning of Memorial Day, why we have Memorial Day. And what I didn't know until I watched your video was that there were several different types of Memorial Days throughout the South on different... I mean, they had all Memorial Days, but it was... on different days?
There were two.
You said there's different dates. Yeah, there's the Confederate Memorial Day and there's the Union Memorial Day.
Yes.
And that's how it got all started. And then, of course, it became more universal afterwards. But that's strongly linked to what we're talking about here, I would say, because it's about how we remember those fallen soldiers. And I think I really do strongly agree with the fact that we should honor just the average soldier fighting in that war more than anything, because, yeah, that's something that most people can agree on, that they were fighting for their homeland. And the thing is, so much of our history is just completely directed by people in power. We like to say that, oh, it's the social fabric that keeps driving society. So it's the average person that drives. Sure, but the statues that you see in general are important, powerful people throughout history. And I do see that point that, you know, maybe we could replace these statues with someone that is just representing the average soldier. I think so. Can we both agree?
There are plenty of those, and they will come for those too. I can assure you.
Why would they come for those?
I don't think they're replacing it with
because it's a symbol of the Confederacy or the past. I mean, you're never, and in today's political climate, man, I don't care how many of these four guard Lees you take down, there's no way they're going to allow any statue to a Confederate being put up. It will not happen.
So that's my biggest issue.
In fact, like I said, whenever I was writing that paper, like I said, this is the late 90s. That was the first time I saw that list. There's a list of 700 Confederate statues that they want removed. And this was their goal way back in the 1990s. And then just yesterday, I saw, like I said, I can't even go check my email without seeing four or five of these stories a day. And it's been this way since Dylann Roof.
So
it's very orchestrated.
Yeah.
I said, there's still over 700 more statues to white supremacy to go. Like, this is a mainstream news media article calling these statues to white supremacy.
Well, keep in mind that the news media thrives on conflict. That's how they make profit.
A list they've had since.
But I mean, I'm just saying that
I was in college.
The media is going to love to see people mad in the streets protesting on both sides for this. For it gives them ratings, so I mean, or it gives them more viewers or whatever. But my point that I was originally making is that my biggest issue with this is that it does seem politicized. It's about people power grabbing. It's something that when we look at history, it should be looking at it. And I think Tom Ritchie did a video on this recently. I always bring up him, but like he said, you know, our interpretation of history. In general, like, we're interpreting something that it's supposed to be objective truth, but it's always going to be interpreted differently. And how people are interpreting our history right now, it comes into question, in my opinion. I think that you need to really step back from your emotions and step back from your personal beliefs, ideologies, whatever it is, and just look at, okay, what's the purpose of this monument? What is this doing? What is this doing here? Like, so maybe we could start with that. Like, what should be the purpose of a monument? To start with that foundation. I'll let Will go first since you haven't talked for a while. What's the purpose of a monument?
Well, what is the purpose of a monument is different from what should be the purpose. What is the purpose is to remember whoever it was or whatever it is they stood for. What it should be is to remember someone good. And I you know, I'm sorry that I'm trash talking your ancestors on this one, but they were on the wrong side. I gotta say it. I'm sorry, but they were on the wrong side on this particular issue. And we can talk about states' rights and everything, but when it comes to slavery and the racism associated with it, they were wrong on that. So having a monument to them or to that person and what they stood for is a monument to slavery by association. And, you know, I'm white, so I'm not oppressed by it, but I can very easily see why other people are. And so when it comes to should we take it down or not, it doesn't hurt my feelings if it's taken down, and it makes them feel better. So I don't see why not. And I understand that it would make you feel bad, or that we are trying to erase your history, or however you want to word it. But I put the feelings of those who were oppressed over that. So a monument should be a good thing, especially if everyone has to see it. And having a symbol up there of racism, of slavery, where people are kind of forced to see it, I disagree with.
What should a monument be, according to you, Robert? What's the purpose of a monument?
A monument is put there as a marker. It's a, I would say it's to get there and for learning, curiosity. People should have the right to go along through there. I mean, my brother and I used to go on trips through the South when we could afford to, specifically to see the monuments. I mean, we brought in money, and so we went to Nathan Bedford Forest Park in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, we went there simply because we drove. There was a Nathan Bedford Forest Park. It turned out just to be a lake, but we drove like 45 minutes one way. Hey, there's a Nathan Bedford Forest Park. You know, because we're into the Civil War. When you remove these monuments, you're actually robbing people of a right to learn that this stuff happened, to spark their curiosity. I mean, they're pieces of artwork. And just like any other piece of artwork that hangs in a museum, people can make their own interpretation. It's this people making a declaration like somehow a statue to Pierre Guston Toutant Beauregard is a symbol of slavery, and they declare that to be. They're declaring the right to think for themselves and everyone else too. They're robbing people of the right to even go there and see it. open the discussion. I mean, this could spark someone's curiosity in the Civil War. They might go out and like me. I mean, it just happened to me one day. I just kind of got into it because of Civil War Journal. I mean, we're going to say Civil War Journal, the TV show, is a monument to slavery. The episode about Robert E. Lee should never be shown again. Because if we're going to take down his monument, then, hey, how about we just censor the History Channel's Civil War Journal and say we can't have Robert E. Lee on TV anymore? I mean, I really don't think it would go that far. Or that a piece of marble can, what was the word they used? The word escaped me, but oppress people. Like a piece of marble can oppress someone.
I don't think it would go that far where we take Robert E. Lee off the History Channel. I mean, this is the same argument when it came to...
He's already off the History Channel.
This is the...
They have aliens on History Channel.
Oh, yeah, everything's off. History Channel used to be the Hitler Channel, but now... Anyway, we're not... This is the same argument when it was... When gay marriage was still an issue. It was, when will it stop? People will be marrying their sandwiches. Like, that's ridiculous, and you know it's ridiculous. So saying we're going to take Robert E. Lee out of Civil War journals or off of TV, you have to know is ridiculous.
I mean, they took all the flags and stuff off of Amazon and eBay.
Capitalism, buddy.
And I'm telling you, the Dukes of Hazzard.
That's
how ridiculous this is.
To be completely frank, that's the kind of thing that people with your viewpoint usually cheer on when it comes to a store not serving whatever they want, whether it be gay cakes or Confederate flag merchandise.
I mean, I've never in my life have gone around and tried to censor what other people could see.
Maybe not you. That's why I said people with
where they could go.
Your viewpoint.
That's almost always exclusively a thing on the left, unless it's that gay marriage, then I'm in your park 100%. I'm pretty libertarian when it comes to that kind of stuff. I just want people to leave me alone and my stuff alone and my history alone and my heritage and each other
alone.
Also,
might I add, they're not taking these monuments and pulverizing them and throwing them in the dump.
They're going to museums.
Yeah, they just get moved.
So that's good. Yeah, at least they're not being destroyed. It's not like it's
destabilization. Not ISIS yet.
Or ISIS, yeah. Hey, before we move on here and get too carried away, just to sum up what we've just looked at the last 15 minutes, I think Will, in general, he thinks that monuments should be meant to honor, whereas Robert leans more towards monuments should be meant to remember. And I think that's a key distinction.
You're going there and you're saying, hey, well, what was the Civil War? Well, I don't know. Let's go look it up.
That's also a ridiculous argument. I'm sorry, Matt, one second. But
go ahead.
Nobody looks at a statue and says, I wonder what the Civil War was. The Civil War is crammed.
I want Pierre Beauregard to learn more about it. I said, I've taught this year history, they've literally forced it between the two classes. I mean, Matt, you could probably say the 8th grade U.S. history, you learn up to 1877, and then high school, you learn post-Reconstruction.
They've changed it. Now it's...
And, don't test over the Civil War, so it's like... I don't think, I'm not saying it was like an intentional conspiracy or something.
We spend quite a bit of time on the Civil War.
I spent a good 2 months on the Civil War alone when I taught 7th grade. That it ended with Reconstruction, so we went through the Civil War, but we spent a good time.
Yeah, if you can keep up with the schedule.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, but what I would like to say is that, it doesn't have to be either or. I think, the statues that are already there, the monuments that are already there that honor Confederate soldiers or generals or leaders, could always just be kept, and then other monuments placed right next door to them saying, hey, these guys were believers in the institution of slavery. They were wrong. We've learned that's wrong. But in their time, because think about this, because I do disagree with what Will said earlier in terms of, I mean, you have so many people in history that did evil things, but at the same time, the you have so many people in history that who happen to do evil things also did good things that we remember the good about them. And so if we wanted to take down statues because people did evil things or it represented something evil, there could be an argument that, yes, you could take down virtually all statues ever, except maybe Jesus Christ or something, or maybe some of those religious statues, because there is just so much. I mean, there even Martin Luther King Jr. or Gandhi have bad parts of their history. I mean, there's nobody that we can completely turn into this perfect icon without some, you know, baggage attached to them. So I think a good compromise would be these statues that are already there, why not just add on to the monuments, like say, hey, this is what we've learned since then. You know, you can update them with additional statues that or monuments to supplement this, because, yeah, in my opinion, I think that monuments, there is kind of that mixed bag where, yeah, part of it is to honor, but also part of it is just to simply remember how it was, because we will forget the evil just like we honor. I mean, we talked about this on the podcast before as well. So much about history is remembering the good, when I think it should be mostly focusing on the bad, because we don't repeat the same mistakes. And so if you do whitewash history, and there are exceptions, I think de-Stalinization is one example where they tried to erase the memory of Stalin, you know, after he died in the 1950s. I think that was okay, because what did Stalin do when he was alive? He tried to completely erase any viewpoint that was different than him or anybody that disagreed with him. And so there are exceptions.
Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, but again, it's apples and oranges, because, you know, you can't, that's just such an extreme example. Same with I can understand why Robert gets really, and Tom too, gets really fired up about the Nazi or the swastika comparison, how, you know, in Germany.
Yeah,
right now,
my ancestors fought for the Confederacy. My ancestors also defeated the Nazis.
And the Germans today, many of their ancestors were Nazis, and the Germans today, the vast majority of them, are very nice people. So I think that's irrelevant. I think what it means, like when we're talking about monuments, it's about what does it mean to people today, and why does it mean that way? A lot of times it is politicized, but at the same time, okay, go ahead. I'm rambling.
No, that's a good point. Is what does it mean to people today? Because while maybe, just first of all, there was a question in the chat about who makes these monuments or who pays for them, and usually it's like
the United Daughters.
Yeah,
of the Confederate,
usually it's like the Sons of Confederate Veterans or groups like that, like kind of like the VFW for Confederate soldiers. But what you just said is what they mean today. And while maybe 50, 60, or even 100 years ago, these statues were to the leaders of the Confederacy, what they mean now to different people are a monument to slavery or a monument to white supremacy.
Oh, we keep saying that's like a new narrative. That's just like their catchphrase. And I mean, they say these are monuments to Confederacy. They're monuments to Robert E. Lee or Pierre Beauregard. It's not a monument to a slave. And you keep saying monument to slavery. It's like, if it was an actual monument of slaves, like a Middle Passage slaver, would you want to eradicate that?
No, because I think
we're honoring that, because that would be a monument to the people who experienced
slavery.
No,
because that's when you could look at it and say, now I remember, not maybe not I remember, but now I see slavery, not here's a guy who wanted to keep me in chains.
They keep saying me. I mean, this was 130 years ago. 150 years
ago. I understand
ago.
That, but this is only two, maybe three generations ago. The last Civil War veteran died in 59. I mean, so his kids may even still be alive. It wasn't that long ago. To us, here in 2017, it feels like forever ago. But it was only two or three generations ago. And it's not like, to borrow a joke from Louis C.K., it's not like slavery ended and then everything was great. It was still pretty crappy for a lot of people for a long... It still is for a lot of people.
Reconstruction was, in many cases, like, I think, just as horrible as the, you know, before the Civil War, I mean, for many African Americans. But I mean, I think what I'm saying here, like, what do you guys think about the idea? Like, because we interpret history differently today, why not just supplement what we've learned since then? Like, instead of just eradicating.
Okay, go ahead. Another thing that you had said was, you know, add to the statue or put a statue next to it. That actually just happened on Wall Street, and it was a big deal because they took that bull. I can't remember the actual name of it, but it's the famous bull statue. Mm-hmm. on Wall Street, and they put a little girl standing there, like, proud, standing up to the bull, and the guy sued because it completely changes the meaning of his artwork, and that's not fair use. Like, you can't change someone's original artwork. So taking a Confederate statue and facing it off with a Union statue or whatever would raise the same issues. I think people would get just as angry about that as they would.
Well, no, they wouldn't, because they're dead. Well, I mean, they're it's public domain. Really, at a certain point, it's public domain after so many years.
After,
so
yes.
I mean, that I've seen people talk about that. Like, why not put a little plaque next to it and say this was when it was erected and this was their meaning to it? And I'm all for more monuments, particularly places like Monument Square in Richmond. You know, for the longest time, it was just Lee, Stewart, and Jackson. You know, now there's an Arthur Ashe statue there, and I think they've even put a few more up since then. You know, it's called Monument Avenue.
See, that would be different. I'd be all for that. But when it's in a, you know, on an intersection or whatever, or a roundabout.
Yeah, well, just like in New Orleans, they were bound and determined we're going to take them down. I mean, at the end of the day, I guess this city has the right to do that if that's what they want to do. But it's just, it's disgraceful, and I'll never get to go see those statues out there. Now, if they put them in a museum, I'm just going to have museums to old. I would go there, but I mean, like I said, most people aren't going to go out of their way to go see it.
That's a good point. Like, there is a distinction between museums that, you know, Robert and I, we went to a museum together one time, and we were the only ones in the entire place.
That was a very nice museum,
yeah,
too.
Like, yeah, the museums are not visited
like
enough.
Oklahoma Historical Heritage Center. We were the only ones in there.
I would like to get back to what it means to people today. Because when you look at the people who are defending the statue, I had his name a second ago, but I already forgot it. It was the white supremacist who got punched in the face during the election.
Shot.
Oh, so, yeah. We don't need to remember his name. That's okay.
But he was
Steven
one of the prime.
Spencer or something.
He
like
was
that.
One. Richard Spencer. Yeah. Yeah.
Richard Spencer.
He was one of the prime defenders, along with many people who think like him. And while there may be plenty of middle of the road moderate people who want to keep our history, the people who go to these memorials and monuments and defend them vehemently are these white supremacist racists.
Do they have a right to an opinion?
They do, yes, but...
So when you seem to have the opinion they don't because they disagree with you. I mean, I'm not defending them, but I'm all for free speech and people to have the right to go do that. And me, like I said, me, I mean, I'm fascinated by the Civil War. I mean, that's my deal. I think these are beautiful. I would go travel halfway across the country just to see them. I think they beautify a city. They stir people's imagination. It gets you to, like I said, asking questions. I mean, you assume people learn the Civil War in school. I can tell you I did not. I mean, I did not learn any history in school. I mean, I was in the class, but the teacher didn't teach it. And I happened to discover it literally because of that show, Civil War Journal. And that's how my obsession started. And I, like I said, I would, back when I could afford to, I would get in my car, I would drive throughout the Deep South just to go see these battlefields and statues and monuments. I mean, it was part of the cultural experience. It's what people think of when they think of the South. The South has a very unique history. It has a very unique place. Yeah, it's a lot of it's romanticized, and a lot of it, I agree, is very bad, but I just don't want it erased. I mean, we're talking about a section of the country that's what people think of. They think the Confederate battle flag. They think the Civil War. They had their own flag, their own anthem. Dixie, what other section of the country has something you'd say, well, that's like their own little anthem? I mean, and, that's part of the environment of the South is, the state flags all incorporate, let's see, still today, Alabama, Florida, North Carolina, Georgia. People don't realize that Confederate imagery is in those. Even the Arkansas state flag has a star for the Confederacy.
But how much of that is just nostalgia, though? I mean, because there's a purpose for remembering history.
That's an important part of culture. I mean, there's a region where I'm nostalgic about the 80s. It's when I...
Right. But there's a difference between nostalgia and, like, why we choose certain things in history to remember or focus on more than others, as opposed to... Because I think it's great. If it was up to me, my curriculum at my high school, what I teach would be nothing but... late 1960s, early 1970s, maybe the grunge era and early 90s. But you know what I mean? Like, I have nostalgia for that. It seems to me like, to kind of favor what Will's saying here, is like, you have people that are, we're not talking about people like Robert and other history fans. We're talking about, like, white supremacists. And it's not all of, I mean, we're generalizing. But if these people are going there, they have the right to do that. They have their opinions, but I can see like how that looks bad, right? It looks like, oh, they're making these.
No, that's a PR problem.
Yes.
I don't necessarily know how you would have ever done anything about groups like the Ku Klux Klan using it. But during the 20s, they had the huge Klan, where they're all marching down the street carrying American flags. And I've already seen plenty of articles where people are like, oh, that's racist, that's bigoted. Because the United States government endorsed and protected slavery for how long?
Yeah.
How many of those early presidents were slave owners?
Oh, yeah.
You can't escape that with, like, Thomas Jefferson. We look back on it now and we're like, well, my gosh, I mean, how could the guy who wrote those beautiful words in the Declaration of Independence have owned 300 slaves? The stuff you say about the Confederacy, you could say about him too. You could say about the American flag. You could say about virtually anything.
Yeah. I mean, the Monticello, though, does not represent slavery.
I mean, he owned slaves. Built by slaves. Is that not a monument to slavery?
It's not, though, because people
built it.
Hey, but no.
Slaves built that thing.
Listen,
they built the White House.
The average person that goes to visit Monticello, they're not like, I'm going here to celebrate slavery. Yeah, let's go. They're going there to honor.
When I go to a Civil War battlefield, I'm not doing that.
Exactly, but not everybody.
When I go see a statue of Robert E. Lee, I'm like, hey, I'm not going to celebrate slavery. I mean, he freed his slaves in 1862.
You're different, apparently.
So you're wanting to rob me and everyone else the right to... See, this is what they do. This is, there's this group of people over here, so we have to get rid of it. We have to wipe it away. Because no one else can behave themselves. I lose my rights and liberties and freedoms. And it's just like that with the government.
But
they're legislating
stuff.
But
it's a racist symbol.
That's what they did with Prohibition. Why? It's not to me.
To
you're assuming
white.
It is to everyone. You're not black, and you profess to be speaking for the black child walking down the street seeing the monument. I mean, he might be like, wow, that was kind of... I'm glad we've come a long way since then. And that's what white liberals do constantly, is they're like, we have to protect these people. They have their own opinions. Many of them would agree with you and some of them wouldn't, but we can't speak for other people.
Well, Robert, how would you feel, though, like if, you had a bunch of Muslims that were building monuments of Muhammad all over our cities?
Pick Bin Laden. That's a better comparison.
Well, but Bin Laden, I'm not saying like, just Muhammad, because Muhammad...
So Robert E. Lee is Bin Laden.
Just listen here. Hear me out. So like, look at the other side here. Like, and people, most typical Americans might see that and they might at the very least be uncomfortable being like, I don't know about all these Muhammad statues, man. I don't know if I like this.
First and foremost, you cannot build a statue of Muhammad.
That's,
I dare you to try.
Even Muslims wouldn't let you do it.
It is against... you cannot. It is against...
Right here,
it is against... idolatry is 100%.
Yeah.
And a mosque well would fall under freedom of speech.
But we have the First Amendment here, so
I think what you're trying to say is, but I've never in my life have I once demanded a statue be taken down or removed. Like, even, like, there's a statue to John Brown. I mean, he's a fascinating, intriguing...
terrorist.
You know, controversial figure.
He's terrorist.
Yeah.
And I say that, and I say that
I don't
Lord.
Say, hey, he tried to start a slave insurrection that would sweep to the South and have killed all my... I mean, I may not even be here if that guy was successful. He wanted to start a slave revolt. They wanted to go down and basically have an army to end slavery. And a lot of people see him as a hero. I see him as a psychopath. You know, misguided, you know, you could say, well, I agree with wanting to get rid of slavery, but gee, you know, he wanted to he went back into the house and like murdered a 2.5-year-old girl. He was like, oh, well, I didn't kill all their kids, and went back with an axe and chopped her up.
Yeah.
There's a statue that's Nat Turner, but, I switched narratives in my mind there.
Yeah,
but, you know,
Nat Turner,
like a Nat Turner statue would be a little weird, but assuming there is one, I'm like, okay, well, that give people the right to learn about Nat Turner.
All right. What's your response to that, Mr. Will?
I've never in my life said get rid of statues.
Because you weren't personally oppressed by whoever that...
Well, the people today aren't personally oppressed.
The racism comes down through the generations and still exists today. I hope you don't argue with that one. And it stems...
Well, I mean, is a piece of marble racist?
It stands for something racist. You can say it stands for a person, but that person stood for racism. Or slavery.
Well, I mean, Abraham Lincoln, have you ever seen his quotes?
Of course.
About blacks?
Yeah, he wasn't...
Do we take down his statue?
Well, he was a hero.
His monument? Where he said, I will never consider them to be equal of whites. He wanted to send them all back to Africa.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
We have a huge monument to him.
And I'm aware...
Is that racist? Because he was racist? Is his statue racist? Does that oppress people?
No, because in the end, he was the one who penned the Emancipation Proclamation not getting rid of slavery, but you know what I mean. He's the one that... is celebrated as the president who ended slavery. So, no. It's just like what we were saying earlier with Gandhi or Martin Luther King. There are bad parts to everybody. Washington, Jefferson, all of them have bad parts to their history. But what is this person remembered for? You know, Washington, the first president, he's not remembered as a slave owner. Lincoln is remembered as the one who freed the slaves, even though technically he didn't really do that, but that's what he's remembered for. You know, Martin Luther King is a civil rights leader. Who's Jefferson Davis? He's the president of the country that wanted to keep slavery. You know, these Confederate leaders, what they stand for, what they stood for, was keeping slavery, keeping black people oppressed. And we can even extend it all the way down to the regular, everyday Confederate soldier. I know I wasn't going to touch on this because I didn't want to argue this point, because I watched your video on this topic where you said they're defending their homeland. But even the regular, everyday white Confederate soldier was still defending the idea that he wasn't at the bottom of the social ladder. He was still at least above the black people. And even if that wasn't the first thing that would come to mind when he was asked, what are you fighting for? That was what he was fighting for.
Yeah. So I guess like what it comes back down to here again is, I think what we're still looking at, like what it means to people, the average everyday person. And I guess I tend to lean towards Robert because frankly, you know, why are we making this a big deal is always the big question for me. Like it's about how we interpret it. Why can't we just interpret it as, okay, these guys made mistakes just like most everybody in history, and let's just let it be. And we've learned from it. Let's move on. You walk by that statue. Just if you don't like the statue, flip it off. That's fine. or maybe the supplement it, say, hey, this is what we've learned since then.
With the statue like there, you can't move on. With the statue there, people will still see it.
Okay.
And almost with a religious fervor, defend what that person stood for. Which is, you know, the lost cause, the romantic lost cause that was slavery and oppressive racism.
And we've mentioned free speech. I mean, can we make the argument that these statues can sometimes cause violence? They can incite violence because people gather around these statues, right? Can that argument be made?
Several of the articles that you sent me about this topic mentioned representatives and prominent people saying that we should lynch anyone who tries to take down these statues. White people saying that we should lynch anyone who tries to take down these statues. So right away, I mean, yes, they can. My favorite part about the statue removal is that they did it in the middle of the night so that there weren't that many people who could cause violence. I find that part hilarious. But yes, they can easily cause violence, and perhaps not in the moment, like in the immediate vicinity around the statue, but, you know, little kids who grow up still believing that the South will rise again continue to perpetuate the racism that still exists today. And I think as long as those monuments are there, as long as that symbology that the South may rise again, even though it lasted 4 years, I think it needs to be moved to a museum or somewhere that isn't like a foreign tourist coming to America goes down to the South and goes to New Orleans, which is a melting pot city of all. It's a big tourist spot, and they see, well, now they won't, but they used to see Confederate statues, and they'd be like, what are these two? Oh, well, they're to the time when this state really, really wanted to keep slavery. Is that what we want to be?
But there's also Napoleon statues still in New Orleans that Napoleon did some bad things. I mean, I go back and forth on this. Hey, Robert, is your microphone? I think I accidentally unmuted. Could you test it? Are you still? Can we hear you?
It does look like a mute symbol on there.
I tried to change it, but I'm not sure what's going on.
You're muting yourself. I think only he can unmute himself.
Oh, hey, could you unmute yourself, Robert? Because I think I was trying to mute myself and I muted you. Yay, okay. But yeah, well, so I
thought
I go back...
you muted me like 10 minutes ago. I thought I wasn't allowed to talk anymore.
No, I was trying to figure out how to... Yeah, sorry about that. You can talk if you want to. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I mean, so much has gone by that I wanted to say since then. I thought, wow, I've finally been censored.
Gosh dang it, yeah.
Listen, I can't even remember. There's been so many things, well, I wanted to say since then.
Okay, so I was wondering why you were so quiet.
Matt Beat muted you. Mr. Beat muted you.
Yeah, it was an accident. I already apologized. Okay, so the Napoleon thing, like the Napoleon statues are in New Orleans. So what's the difference here? Like
Napoleon statues are there because he's the one who sold Louisiana to America.
Okay, but I hate Napoleon, and if I go there, like, and I, you know, I see this, like, we need to take these freaking Napoleon. He was an imperialist. He killed a bunch of innocent people, you know. So should I protest that? Like, can I at least get those moves so I don't have to walk by his stat? I mean, like.
Well, the Andrew Jackson one there is the problematic one now. I mean, sure, he defended the city and saved it from the British, but he was a horrible slave owner.
Well. Not to mention the things he did aside from that.
Oh, yeah, with the Trail of Tears and stuff. So we got to get rid of that. We got to get rid of George White. Like I said, Abraham Lincoln was a flaming racist. I think any statue of a white person needs to be removed immediately.
No, it's what are they remembered for?
That would be my stand. Unless it's John Brown.
It's what are they remembered for?
That's really what's underlying
all of it. Andrew Jackson is remembered as one of the worst presidents. I mean, we may disagree on that, but he, like, on
I've written a book on Andrew Jackson. I happen to have
one. He's generally regarded as one of the worst. I haven't heard of any movements to remove his statues yet. I'm sure there are. I just am not well read on that topic. But it's what did they stand for? You keep going back to Washington and Lincoln. Those people aren't remembered as people who wanted to force slavery.
Well, that, I remember that was one of the things I was wanting to comment on when you were saying that. I was like, well, I mean, Pierre, Toussaint, Gustave Bourgeois, the Confederate soldiers, Lee, I mean, they're remembered as defending the South in my mind. I mean, like I said, the Civil War fascinates me. It is just, it's by far to me the most intriguing part of American history. You know, when I see these statues as connected to that, when I go to the South, I want to visit these battlefields and see these places and the statues. And I think it's part of the image of the South. It's like you're erasing their image.
See, that's the problem here. That's the core problem here. It means something different to different people. So again, like, how can we make it so that it means the same thing to everybody?
Get rid of it, Matt. Take it down. Don't allow the conversation. Eradicate it. Erase it. They will not stop until that is done.
Other than that, how can we make it mean, like, with leaving them there, how can we make them mean something the same thing? Like, I like that idea. Like, you know, we're just remembering the culture, the good parts of the culture of the old Confederacy of the South.
What good parts?
I mean, economical. That they were the
chivalry, code of ethics, honor.
You can have that with any
loyalty, duty.
Loyalty. You're talking about a bunch of traitorous separatist rebels. Loyalty.
Well, don't talk about Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and George Washington that way, sir.
Look, I knew that parallel.
That's our country's history.
Before I said it, I was like, well, he's going
to... No, that's a weak argument. I mean, they were loyal to their state, not their country.
Well, they took down the statues of King George.
Okay.
Ripped those suckers down.
That's another thing. The loyalty to states rather than the country. Things have changed drastically. Back then, you were born, lived, and died basically in the same house, probably, but most of the time in the same state. Now, if something's illegal in my state, I can drive 30 minutes and get whatever it is. I think the idea of states and states' rights and all that, I kind of think that's...
Gosh, we gotta...
Hold on. I think that has faded because now... You don't refer to yourself as a Virginian or a New Yorker or a Pennsylvanian.
People ask me where I'm from. I say Oklahoma.
Okay, yes.
You know what happened if Matt and a bunch of Kansas Yankees decided to come down here? You know what would happen? I wouldn't want to shoot at Matt, but I mean, what I'm saying is I've never been to Kansas. Still. So my loyalty to Oklahoma and Texas is a lot stronger than my loyalty to Kansas and Nebraska would be. Now, if foreigners came in and they tried to take over Kansas, I'd be like, oh, no, I'm going to go help. But
that's his point.
If it came to blows today,
that's his point, Robert.
After
the way it is.
World War I and especially World War II, people stopped with that state identity thing.
Yeah, in the South, we finally started celebrating the 4th of July again.
Really? Yeah.
1945, Vicksburg. Been celebrating it for 82 years.
Oh, that was a wonderful thing to remember.
Because I think the point here is the Civil War is the most, it's the watershed event in our history. It's the worst thing. It was a huge tragedy. I mean, look at the deaths and stuff. Now, you're tinkering with much more than a marble statue here when you remove this stuff.
Again, I don't think removing a statue is going to remove the Civil War from our history.
But that's the emotion it evokes and stuff is you're dealing with... I mean, I don't think people realize how bad the Civil War was and why the South had such an attachment to those leaders when they went through that. The South is a very unique experience. I mean, they're the only Americans that have ever really, truly lost a war, and they lost it in devastating fashion. You know, we're talking Union armies going through there, just pillaging and plundering and leaving swaths of destruction. One in three white Southern men were killed or seriously maimed during that war.
So why
no other part of the country has gone through anything like that ever
So why not just replace all the statues of, the Confederate leaders with just average Confederate soldiers that...
Well, I'm telling you, at the end of the day, they will not allow new Confederate monuments to be built everywhere. I mean, that's why they have the list of 700. I told you they had this 20 years ago.
What about the argument that...
These are our targets. Those soldiers are on that list.
What about the argument that...
They got every town.
The Confederacy was a separate country, and so it's not according to Lincoln, obviously, but they declared sovereignty for 4 years or whatever, and you think that, like, okay, just like with any country that conquers a foreign country, the country that does the conquering usually has the say about how history should be remembered, right? And so
this is why a lot of people call it the War of Northern Aggression.
Right. So, I mean, isn't it logical to assume that someday this would have inevitably come? The day would come that these Confederate soldiers... Because, I mean, maybe the reason why this hasn't happened before is because before, the people in the South, it was still too touchy. But now, finally, it's 150 years later. It's like, finally, we can, like, move past this, that it's okay to finally take these statues down. So maybe that's why it's finally happening, as opposed to...
No, it's because of a political narrative is what it is.
I disagree with that.
I mean, even the Union...
Okay.
Lincoln himself was like, hey, we want to be forgiving, with malice towards none, charity towards all. I mean, these Civil War veterans, as soon as Grant's army accepted Lee's surrender, I mean, they walked over, gave them food, embraced them. They were the countrymen again, you know. They went through this shared suffering. It's like... If the Southern statues be removed, I mean, because you want to get rid of this, or do you remove the Union statues too?
Thank you for all.
I mean, these are all American soldiers.
Thank you for all the comments, guys.
On that topic, really quick, and Matt brought this up.
Yeah, I didn't even open that up.
You know, after the Revolution, we got rid of King George statues. There's a comment.
That was daring. We needed bullets.
There was a comment by Donnie the Nerdfighter who said, any other country would have eradicated all reference to revolting peoples. The USA is unique in this. And I couldn't agree more. Whenever there's some sort of...
So Oliver Cromwell, that's a lie right there.
You brought up one reference. Woo! I would say the majority of the time when there's a rebellion that's eventually
any
put
country.
Down, that... They wouldn't allow a statue.
Daniel Shays. Is there a statue to Daniel Shays?
I don't know.
Probably a little marker monument.
Maybe, but I would agree with him that most other countries, or at least most other rebellions.
Most other countries don't have freedom of speech.
That's not true.
I mean, I like the fact that we have these kind of things. Oh, yeah, try criticizing the migrants in Germany and see what happens.
I see that on the news all the time.
What happens? What happens to you if you don't criticize the migrants there?
The police show up
and violently beat the migrants.
And intimidate
right.
you? No.
Yeah. Should we wrap this up here? We've been over an hour here. We kind of were talking in circles, I think. I don't know. Is there any other points we want to make before we wrap this up? I guess.
Well, on the topic of my video, where I say that there was a Union Memorial Day that became the national federal holiday of Memorial Day, and there still is a Confederate Memorial Day in many states, in most states in the South. Should we still keep them separate?
Well, they're working on it.
Should they remain separate holidays, or should they be merged?
Yeah, I mean, aren't they already...
They're not gonna... That'll never fly.
I think eventually it could. I think that I can see that happening. Yeah, I mean, I think that the bottom line is I think a lot of people they fear change. They like to hold on to the past a little bit too much, and you look at your average American today. I think older generations are just a little bit bewildered by it. Like, wow, how has this country changed so much? Why is it that this is not the United States that I remember. That's why you see so many people that tend to vote for the candidate that says, I'm going to make us how we used to be. I'm going to bring back this, you know? And so I think there's an element of that into this. I think inevitably because our country is just continuing to change. Like, white people are going to be the minority probably within 40 to 50 years. So how is that going to be a dramatic change? Like, when whites are the minority, think about the changes in terms of how we interpret history will be then. What will happen to the Confederate statues then if they manage to survive now? I mean, that's the thing. Like, the media is partially to blame for politicizing everything that's going on right now. But, you know, it's people collectively, they do perceive history in certain ways that favor their people, their point of view, their ideologies, their religions. And so I think inevitably this is going to be a debate that just keeps happening and happening. And I think it's ultimately that's why it's better just to, instead of taking away, just add on, supplement. I keep using that supplement word. I'm so sorry. I don't really like that word.
You're a teacher.
Yeah, that's why.
I think it comes in cycles of 50 or 60 years where this resurgence of conservatism, as many people are saying in the comments, this romantic view of the Confederacy and the antebellum South, and we seem to be going through that again right now. I think, as you said, what's it going to look like in 40 or 50 years? I really don't think the Confederate statues will be around except for museums. I think this is honestly, I think it's a losing battle to try and keep them around. It's going to happen.
Much like the Civil War was with the Lost Cause, and now maybe you understand.
I'm not...
What's the point you're trying to make?
So it's like the Confederacy itself was a lost cause. Slavery itself was a lost... You know, the whole thing. But it's like what the Confederate soldier people went through. You know, that to me is what the emotional attachment is to those statues. And it's like now it's repeating itself again and again and again.
Yeah,
is the point I'm trying to get at. If that makes sense, I may not have explained it very well.
You guys want to know what my favorite monument in Washington, D.C. is? Take a guess. It's related to what we're talking about. Go ahead.
Was it the Grant?
There's Grant right there. See him?
Yeah.
But no, it's not. Right. It's not Grant.
You have a Grant?
Yeah, why would you have a Grant bobblehead?
I went to his house. I went to his house,
that's
okay?
That's more disturbing.
He was against slavery, and I went to his house, and I bought it.
He owned slaves, dude.
No, he didn't own slaves. It was his wife's family that owned slaves, and
well,
he disagreed with it.
He married her. You know how possession and ownership was back then.
Well, he was also one of the most notoriously corrupt presidents ever.
You know, the people around him. I always say,
yeah, he
I don't think Grant was necessarily corrupt, but the people around him were terrible.
His family, yeah.
He's naive.
Friends. Anyway, no, the memorial that's my favorite is the Vietnam Memorial. And the reason why, take a guess what the reason why is.
It's just names. There's no racial anything.
No, it gives you a...
I love it. Yes, it's just the names of those fallen soldiers, and it's so appropriate for like tomorrow, Memorial Day. Back to your video, the true meaning of Memorial Day, those soldiers that were essentially pawns that were they were out there, you know, just trying to survive, doing what they thought was best. Sure, bad things happen overall. Like it was a lot of mistakes were made, whatever. But they sacrificed everything, and in many ways, I think that's how memorials should be. Instead of like putting this giant statue of somebody, like, oh, look at me, like, no, just honor them, remember their names, like, just, you know, something more. I guess I can't find the word right now, but like. It just seems like it does more to honor the fallen, as a memorial like that, than just this giant statue sitting in the... Oh,
of one person, too.
Of one person, yeah. So why not that for the Confederate soldiers, Robert? Eh?
Well, that's what the statue of the Confederate soldier is. I mean, it's not a distinct person. Like the one in Franklin. You know, horrible battle fought there. Like, pretty much the Army of Tennessee died there. It was today in the middle part of the town. You know, they've got a beautiful statue to a Confederate soldier.
Is that one in danger of being taken down?
I Franklin is actually, this kind of goes into earlier, he was saying, you know, this re-romanticize. As I was thinking as he said it, I'm like, I don't really see that, because it seems to me the whole trend's moving in the other direction, and people are just starting to push back. It's not like people are suddenly deciding, you know, the Confederate soldier was noble again, or the antebellum was great again. It's just now there's this new push. But Franklin, Tennessee, is one of the places that would kind of, what he was saying earlier about people re-romantic, it's like all of a sudden they're deciding, because the statue's been there since like the 1880s, but they're trying to reclaim the battlefield. And, you know, they tore down the Domino's Pizza and they rebuilt the Cotton Gin, you know, where Claiborne's army was just, you know, just slaughtered. So that, kind of forgot my point I was even making, but they're like trying to reclaim that and say, oh, well, you know, for tourism and, hey, something really amazing happened here. So you could kind of, I guess, argue that that's kind of like trying to reclaim that again, to the point he was making.
Yeah,
I think it's a generational thing. It seems to be, like I said, every 50 or 60 years or so, people want to go back to how it was when they were a kid. I mean, every generation does that, and we've mentioned it a few times so far, and it seems like we're going through that right now. It seems, you know, with the recent push towards conservatism, which itself means, like, I want to keep it the way it was, or go back to the way it was, and I agree with you that it is a pushback to...
Yeah, it's more a pushback to change than it is, hey, let's resurrect this whole thing.
But I also, I would argue that it's going to change. And if you just, if you keep fighting it, you're just going to prolong it. And I'm not saying you should just give up, right? But, you know, a lot of these issues that seem to come up every few decades, you know, women being able to vote, or interracial marriage, gay marriage, legalization of pot, whatever it is, they take forever. You can fight them all you want, but it's a losing battle. And I think Confederate statues are one of them. They're going to be, I think they are all either going to be taken down or moved to museums, and continuing to fight it just kind of signals to the rest of the world that we're not ready, to give up the racist, or slave past. Cause it, if, I hope we can all agree that slavery was a shameful part of our history. It will never be forgotten, but maybe we don't have to have statues to it everywhere. And,
well, it's not a statue.
I understand.
Yeah. We've went over that a few times, this podcast. I think that in the future there can be some compromises made in especially places like Franklin. I mean, like, I mean, there's surely they can be some common ground because of the fact that these statues don't have to all just mean slavery. And so I'm hoping that we don't lose these monuments. And there, I mean, I can understand maybe a few, but yeah, no. I generally lean towards keep it, because we don't want to forget. And as long as we can find ways to kind of change the narrative, change the meaning, make it so that we're not just glorifying our the evils of the past, but we're just remembering our culture for the past, our history, our heritage. That's, I know that that's such a cliche thing to say, oh, it's about our heritage, and that you get made fun of, like, Southerners who defend these, but no, heritage is important. This is what, like Robert keeps saying, this is what gets people interested in history to begin with, is the, learning about their own heritage, and then it branches out. They learn about other people's heritage in the process, and that's... we're going to wrap this up, though. I think we're starting to lose viewers. Although, I want to thank you, all the viewers, for tuning in, and I've been reading the comments, and they're all over the place. It's a lot of fun to read, but thank you for watching, everybody. It's been pretty cool to see this many people tuning in, because I'm not used to that many people.
How many were there? I didn't see the numbers.
At its peak, there were like 40 people at one time. That was pretty cool. But yeah, so we we're going to wrap this up. So I just want you guys to have final thoughts, and then we'll sign off by telling everybody like where we can find our YouTube channels and websites and all that. So go ahead. Final thoughts. Will, final thoughts. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just put a video up a few hours ago on Memorial Day, and which is kind of what brought me into this discussion anyway, because of the history of Memorial Day. It started as a Union holiday, and there is a separate Confederate holiday, and that's kind of where I got the idea to talk more about the Confederate statue removal, since it's only a week or two ago. As I've said many times already, I don't think that removing the statues will scrub the Civil War from our history. I was beaten over the head with Civil War history through junior high and high school and college. Apparently, Robert had a different experience, and maybe some of you out there have had a different experience. I can only speak for myself and at least my other classmates in that regard. And I can also say that personally, seeing a statue of someone is not going to spark my interest in learning more about that topic. And maybe I'm alone in that one, but because especially since Robert said that that's what got him into the Civil War. So perhaps there is something to that that I didn't see before. But to me, when I see a Confederate statue, I see, again, I'm only speaking for myself here. I see a monument to someone who fought to keep slavery. And I also see a monument to a separatist rebel. And as a U.S. veteran, I would be kind of offended if there was a separatist movement in the U.S. that I had to leave my life to go put down, and then suddenly there was a statue to that person. That would greatly offend me, actually. But that's me. So the way I see it, there's kind of three groups of people. There are when it comes to a Confederate statue, there's the people who view it as a monument to oppressive slavery. There are the people who maybe don't care at all or just see it as a part of history, whatever. And then there are the people who want to keep it because it's a piece of their heritage, or perhaps in the extreme, a monument to white supremacy that they can look at as a martyr, which is the case for Richard Spencer and the people who went to defend the monument when it was being taken down. So, you know, both of those extremes are probably the minorities. But when it comes to these people view it as a symbol of hatred, these people view it as a symbol of their own racial power. I think it's time to, move them out of the direct public eye. Don't get rid of them completely, obviously, but I don't think they need to be in the middle of a traffic circle. So that's kind of my final thoughts. I can be found at Knowing Better. I believe there's a link in the description below. And I don't just do videos on American history and the Civil War. So even if you disagree with me on this one, hopefully there's something there that you might find interesting. So I'm very thankful that you guys had me on.
Oh, well, we're so glad that we had you on. Hopefully we didn't scare you off, especially Robert. He's pretty intense sometimes. But okay, Robert, what are your final thoughts?
Well, I'm glad that he was here. This wasn't as bad as I thought it was. I actually at some point even started enjoying it a little bit. But I will say, because he says what it means to him, I think that was something that had to have been like ingrained. And at some point in your life, because I think your upbringing and your maybe even your like you didn't say what kind of a teacher you had. Was it, hey, this is the Civil War? Did you have some Yankee-fied version of it or a pro-Confederate version of your, because you said you've never seen a statue of
yeah,
a Confederate.
I mean,
you must be a Yankee of some sort.
I guess. I mean, I grew up in Hawaii, so I mean, I'm not north or south.
Oh, well, that's so far removed. That's yeah. as far away from it as you can possibly get. So that might make, because I mean, Tom Ritchie talked about it a little bit in one of his videos, I think. You know, what it's like being a white Southerner who's like an old stock, you know, whose family actually went through the war. Yeah. You see it completely differently. And it is something that's kind of just ingrained in you. And like, even I grew up in Western Oklahoma, didn't know or care much about it. But once I started getting into the Civil War, and I found out my ancestors were like in the South all the way back to Jamestown, you know, it, you kind of do look at it differently. But, you know, he spoke of seeing statues to like rebels, you know, separatists. Even the Union soldiers themselves, they didn't see the Confederates like, they didn't see that as the other. I mean, for crying, we have Forts Bragg. I think there's four or five U.S. military forts named after Confederate general. I mean, I know there's a Fort Bragg and a Fort Hood, and it seems like there's several others. You know, we've had naval vessels named after Confederate officers and stuff. Because, I mean, they were Americans. These were American soldiers. And it's like you're taking down a monument to Americans when you're doing this, part of our collective experience as a whole. And I think that's why we need to keep them, because where does it stop? You take that down, oh, well, now Andrew Jackson was a horrible person. Well, let's, you know, we're already getting him off the money and stuff, so we got to get his statues down too. We can go after Jefferson. I mean, I know there's a statue of Thomas Jefferson. I think it's at the University of Missouri when they were going through their whole social justice warrior fit a couple of years ago, where people were like, hey, this guy owned over 300 slaves. We need to get rid of his statue. So it is real. I mean, you see it where people are saying, hey, the American flag offends me. We need to get rid of that. That's a sign of symbol and racism and oppression. You know, because if you look at the country's history, you know, the U.S. government protected slavery for all the way up through the 13th Amendment. And Richard Spencer, I think he's just out there trying to take advantage of something he knows will get some media attention. I think he's like, hey, I can go out there and capitalize on this situation. I think it's a very selfish move. He knows a lot of cameras will be there. But I will say on him, I've never seen him punch someone in the face. I have seen him be punched in the face. I have seen this old radical left Antifa like, oh, we just brand them Nazis. We can punch them in the face. You know, we have Punch a Nazi today. For as oppressive, as horrible as he is in groups like the Ku Klux Klan, there's this one thing I will end on saying here. Every time I see a video where it's something violent going on, I always point this out when I'm talking about free speech with my students. Just because, and I know you're not endorsing this, I'm just throwing it with the Richard Spencer thing. Just because you disagree with him doesn't give you the right to punch him in the face. And I always say, watch when the Ku Klux Klan shows up. There'll be like five Ku Klux Klan and they'll get a permit or whatever. They'll stand up there with their megaphone and they'll spew stuff that the vast majority of us would disagree with. You know, we could just ignore them or whatever. But they always gather. There's always like hundreds of people show up, right, angry at them. And they start throwing stuff at them and start trying to rush the people and start actually trying to assault the Klan members. Like, they're the ones going to the violence first. I always find that kind of odd. You know, if you disagree with it, just turn the other way. And I would say the same with Richard Spencer. Instead of giving him attention, don't go punch the guy in the face, no more than anyone else. So that was just my Richard Spencer thing. Because you're kind of making them, I guess, and some people could say the victim or whatever, you know, they're the ones getting assaulted when they're just doing their right. You know, he has the right to be there, but I wouldn't want anything to do with him. But ignore him and don't punch him in the face, I guess, would be my saying. Because you actually give him more attention when you punch him in the face. But you shouldn't punch people in the face anyway, children. That's my spiel.
All right. That's great. I want to thank you guys for coming on. This was an idea I had yesterday, And I, spur of the moment, we haven't, like I said at the beginning, we hadn't done this podcast since last November. I thought it was pretty much dead. And then I was like, you know what? Stuff like this makes me really, really, really miss the podcast. So let's bring it back for this. And Will, I have only known for a little while, and thanks for agreeing to join us because you definitely made the discussion a lot better. A lot of times when it's just Robert and I agreeing, it gets to be a very boring podcast. So yeah, I think the fact that you two disagreed on this, and I was kind of all over the place, I kind of see both sides really well. I think it was a really good episode here. So thank you to all the viewers for watching. If you want to find us online, I'm going to screen share this. This is the, first of all, I wanted to give a shout out to, Knowing Better YouTube channel, and his new video, Will's new video, Don't Thank Veterans on Memorial Day. Definitely a provocative, title there.
Yeah.
Will is... He is a veteran, so thank you for your service. And
he doesn't want to hear that.
That's the one thing
sorry.
I just said not to do.
Especially on Memorial Day.
It's not Memorial Day yet, true. Okay?
I can agree with him on this one. People are clueless.
I know. In
it's
the video,
like Memorial Day and Veterans Day, it's the same holiday to them.
In the video, you're just like, I don't know what to say to that when people say thank you for your service. But I say thank you to your service to teachers, actually. Every time I meet a new teacher, I say thank you for your service. And they always laugh and they're like, and they get it because it is something that. Anyway, I'm digressing, but check out his channel. Also, check out our podcast. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, everywhere.
Coming back to live.
Yeah, why not? I'm not sure if we're going to do this, you know, regularly, but we will still do it occasionally. And thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us wherever you follow your podcasts. And again, check out Robert's channel, Reading Through History. Do you want to anything else you want to promote before we go, Robert?
We got our new landmark Supreme Court cases book out. It's got a summary of most of the really important ones. Now, I will say this about the College Board, the AP. It's a scam because every single year they change the Supreme Court cases you need to know about so that you have to rebuy their product. But if you just want a normal one in your classroom for your students, get some, or you yourself. It's called Landmark Supreme Court Decisions by Jake Henderson. It's put out by Reading Through History. And it's just the history brief. Great stuff. And, of course, when you're there, click on the author link. Check out the – literally now to the point, we're up close to almost 50 books now. So
wow.
It's pretty impressive.
Okay. And then, can we get a sneak peek of your next video or no? Or how about where can people follow you on Twitter?
Oh, it's Knowing Better YT. That's my Twitter, my Twitter handle. My next video has been requested for several times. Every week, people are like, when are you going to do this? So I'm going to do it. It's psychology of mate selection, but behaviors this time because I did physical attraction a month ago or so, and people have been requesting.
I remember that video.
So yeah, I'll be doing
it. I was very attracted to that video.
Okay.
Sorry. It was really bad. Okay. And check out my channel. Obviously, you're watching it right now on my channel, so that was a really stupid thing for me to say. But my next video is going to be about the Dred Scott decision, which most people are already aware of. Very relevant to the Civil War stuff we've been talking about. But I dug some more research, and I did a lot of research on it, so maybe there's some stuff you can learn, even if you already know about the case. And that will come out on Friday. So thanks for watching, everybody. Until next time.
Democratic Republican. He won the election thanks to slaves. He was a big idealist. At the same time, a big realist. He was the main writer of the Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson. He was Virginia's governor. Built a mansion called Monticello. He was a Renaissance man. There wasn't much he could not do. His vice, their emperor, was crazy. And shot Alexander Hamilton. He rebuilt federal taxes and fiercely opposed a central bank.
You were ahead of your time. You were ahead of your time. You were ahead of your time. You were ahead of your time.
which doubled the size of the state. It was a really good deal, but maybe not constitutional. He sent Lucius and Clark to explore the Jeff's territory. He never vetoed a single bill. And have faith in more.